First guest on Leaders Portfolio today, the CEO of KG Works, Kathy Giacalone. Am I getting that right?
Yes,
is that Italian,
fine.
Right?
Yes,
Italian?
It's Italian from New York.
And I want to welcome you to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you.
KG Works is a management consulting firm. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about what you provide.
So my services are broken up into three buckets, an HR bucket with regards to policies and handbooks and all that HR fun stuff. My real sweet love is my training and my ability to help leaders see how to get the most out of their management staff to make sure that they're got enough resources to be productive and happy at work.
And you have background in this, in HR. You worked for Celera Genomics, mm-hmm. and you grew from 250 to 900 people. And so obviously HR was, you know, really involved in that. So was that kind of like your fast-paced leadership training?
Yeah, it was talking about leadership training. I quit every week the first time for the first 3 months. But we were probably the largest startup company, $300 million startup company at the turn of the century. And we needed scientists from around the world to come and help sequence the human genome. So not only did I forget my high school biology that I had to refresh, but I also had to put all my HR practices in place. And it was a great experience. I wouldn't trade it.
But, you know, the good thing is, though, it could have been worse. You could have been having to do the layoffs, right, giving out the official word.
Well, I was smart because when I knew something was like that was going to happen, I took a package and left, which is kind of part of the cycle sometimes of startup companies.
And people often think it's harder to do aggressive layoffs, but there's a lot of growth that comes with a lot of problems that come with aggressive growth as well.
Yeah. Well, you could either get too big too fast or too small too fast. And a good leader needs to know what that balance is. And it is easier sometimes to try to go a little slower, rip that Band-Aid off a little slower, than just rip it off and, you know, let the snakes pop out of the basket and see what happens. So it is important to have that fine balance.
And some of the areas you focus on, you said these briefly, but you help companies create these turnkey HR policies. So I'm going to ask you, just, you know, off the top of your head, what's a good HR policy that you don't see a lot of businesses practicing that they should?
It's a respect. And respect can be snuck into a lot of different policies into the organization. It could even be a core value of a company. And it could be written in a million places, but if you don't act on the word, you usually get a lot of employee relations issues. It's not easy to recruit to an organization where there isn't respect. And recruits and interviewees can see it right away. They can feel it as soon as they walk into an organization if respect is really there, or just a word on the wall or a word in a document. And so we don't really have a respect policy. I mean, you'll find it in anti-harassment policies and anti-hostile work environment policies. But that respect usually comes from the CEO.
So it's often a culture.
It's a culture, core competency, value that usually emanates with the CEO and his or her senior team.
Another thing you said, I love this. You have this training development program called Stop the Email Madness. I think this is a great discussion because I've seen, you know, theories from some CEOs who will not get a BlackBerry because they don't want to be present, and they won't. I've seen some top people I know won't even have emails because they don't want access. And then you see other people who are on everything, right? Facebook, LinkedIn, BlackBerry, email. You know, 4 phone accounts. You know, and so there's really like a lot of theories about how leaders, and not just CEOs, but just leaders in general, can manage email. And so what would you speak to on all that?
Well, I guess back to the respect issue. I mean, if you're in a meeting with your staff and everything's beeping and bonging because you've got emails, BlackBerries, things beeping at you, it's not respectful. You know, you really almost have to give your time, make your eye contact, and make people know that you're there mm-hmm. for them. And if you're distracted, because it used to be the phone ringing. Well, the phones really don't ring anymore. It's emails and PDAs that beep at you. But when I'm with a client and I'm with a president of a large company or a president of a small company, I shut my BlackBerry off because they're there. I'm there for them. Mm-hmm. And it would be rude, I would think, if I was checking like my emails, you know, under the boardroom table while they're asking me some serious questions. So it gets back to respect.
You have a book. It's called Oops, I'm the Manager.
Yes.
And the goal is to teach managers to communicate with anyone in their organization. And we're speaking with Kathy Giacalone, CEO of KG Works. So talk to me about this what you're trying to communicate.
So my book is probably the final chapter of 25 years of working with managers who've found themselves stumbled up into management. They're a great accounting clerk, so we need an accounting supervisor. Or they're a great IT, help desk, so they'll be the great help desk supervisor. And I noticed that people don't give, sometimes organizations don't have the time or the money to train people, and so they're left kind of floundering. Some figure it out on their own, and some need some help. So this book is that help. It actually isolates, it takes you back to the playground when you were 8 years old and you knew the kid that you wanted to make sure everybody got a turn at bat, or the kid that wanted people to count off by twos, or maybe the kid who changed the rules in the middle of the game, or the one who wanted to play it their way. And you take a little, like a magazine test in chapter 3, and then you follow the character throughout the book. And it's actually gives you a chance to apply some of the things that you learn.
So is this more for, kind of seasoned managers or first-time managers?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, because a lot of the seasoned managers stumbled up and never really had a formal training program or never had a formal coach or a formal mentor, and they just kind of got it. And so a lot of the folks that are reading the book now who feel like they are seasoned, mm-hmm. it was like, wow, I wish I had this book 10 years ago when I became a supervisor, because a lot of this stuff I had to learn on the fly, and sometimes I made some mistakes. This book may have helped me not make some of those mistakes.
What do first-time managers often do wrong?
They're afraid of the people that are sitting behind the door, sitting outside the door of their office. They forget that they were one of those people not that long ago. And they need to use some common sense strategies. We talk about the neglected knowledge. This isn't rocket science. We talk about the forgotten five, to make sure you know who your audience is, make sure you collect the facts, make sure you use respect, make sure you find humor in the situation, not make fun of the person, but make fun of the situation in some cases. And then at the end of the day, we as managers get paid to putting it all together. So how do you do that? There are common sense approaches that sometimes we just forget when we become a supervisor.
You have an MS from Johns Hopkins,
yes.
And you're an adjunct professor at George Washington University.
Yes, I spent a semester at GW, and on my rate the professor rates, the students loved me because I gave them the application. I went and said, okay, tell me how to apply it. Don't just spit back the regulation. Tell me how to apply it. And they learned a lot. I had them writing job descriptions and resumes and interview questions, and I had 100% attendance every week. And
excellent.
It was a three-hour class for the whole 11 weeks. So to keep 33 juniors and seniors interested that long was a challenge for me. But I had great students.
So you feel like you're a teacher at heart.
I am a teacher at heart. I like my training, too.
We're speaking with the CEO of KG Works, Kathy Giacalone, of course, at leadersportfolio.com. Now, I read an article you wrote this fall about recruiting employees in a tough economy. And how it's actually not as easy as you'd think. And I thought, this is really interesting, because one of the things we keep hearing CEOs talk about is now's the time to get the best talent, and they're all going after it and they're all getting it. So tell me what is hard about that.
There are so many people in the marketplace now. It's a selection process. It's not about finding the people that grow trees, to use an absurd example, but it's about that best tree grower. And how can you really find that best tree grower? And some CEOs have attitudes as well. You know, I can pay them this, even though they were being paid at a different rate, because they'd be happy to work for my organization. Well, those people will probably not come to the company because it's somewhat insulting. Or if they come, they'll be there 6 or 8 months and then probably leave. Once things turn around, they know they can make the salary that they could have made before the economic downturn.
So you really advise CEOs against doing that?
Absolutely. I mean, people have a value. And all because the economy is kind of wacky right now, the value is still the value. And when the shroud of doom lifts, all those people are going to be back out in the marketplace trying to get their salaries back. And that would be an awful situation to be in a great working relationship with someone and have them leave because they can make more money across the street. Which we saw in the 90s, the late 90s, in the whole IT market. you know, people were sending offer letters to people saying, look what the company across the street will pay me. You know, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
And it was almost like, let's make a deal. But there's a value that the employee has, and there's a value that the employee brings to the company. And the company has to put a price tag on that value and be honest with them.
And are you finding that, do you think, like, HR is tougher now because of what's going on with the economy?
I think that we haven't seen the toughness yet because everyone's kind of hunkered down.
Like they're not hiring yet.
Yeah. The craziness hasn't happened yet. So they're all like in their houses waiting for the snowstorm to come. And then once the snow stops, what happens? Everybody goes outside and starts shoveling and getting their life back and digging out their car. Well, once this shroud of whatever craziness is happening on Wall Street, I haven't looked at the market this morning, lifts, we're going to find some weird things happening in HR. And we're going to find that landscaping director that nobody could find now that there's 10 of them, and they're all going to be, it's going to be a salary war bid on who's going to pay what money for that landscaping director. You know, there are a lot of one-of-a-kind positions.
So if not a lot of hiring is going on this minute, is it actually easier to be an HR director, or is it harder right now?
It's harder because you have to keep the people inside happy. So, you know, you're taking away their benefits. You've stopped their 401k employer contribution. Oh, by the way, you've cut back this benefit, and now we want you to be productive and happy at work. It makes it hard. Yeah. And so the HR director, the good HR director, is looking outside the organization for talent when they know they need it, but is also trying to make the folks inside the company happy and feeling like they're adding value to the company. And that we're not just looking for one more benefit to take away, but we're trying to run our business.
Excellent. Well, Kathy, I want to thank you for being with us.
Thanks,
on
Rebecca.
Leadership Portfolio. Kathy Giacalone, a CEO of KG Works. And of course, you can find her bio, a link to her company, and full interview at leadersportfolio.com. I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. Up next, Walden Studio Architects received the 2008 Small Business of the Year Award from the Baltimore Washington Chamber of Commerce. And we're going to be talking to him in studio. And of course, remember, you can nominate a leader for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards. That's all at leadersportfolio.com. Or you know what? You think you're a leader? Well, prove it. Apply for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.